Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We are at the home base today. The moat is out, and it's a beautiful day to be doing a show, although the news came down last night about the Chargers leaving San Diego, so I have been doing quite a bit of work on that. Obviously, for those of you not aware that have followed through the years, I grew up in San Diego. I moved to Phoenix from San Diego. I was part of the Chargers broadcast for 5 years before coming over to from San Diego to Phoenix. Have a lot of friends that are still in the organization, and obviously a lot of friends and family back in San Diego. I call Arizona home. I figured out that I never cheered for the Chargers growing up as a kid. Yeah, there's a little bit of that, but once you get into this business, you can't root. You shouldn't root. And people that do root, I mean, that's their business, but I just don't. So last night when that story came down, because there's a part of me that looks at it from the Arizona view. The team in San Diego stinks. The baseball team over here stinks. The baseball team over here, I think, has tried to put good talent on the field. I wouldn't say that necessarily has been the case in San Diego, and they've had some bad luck. The owner of the team back in November, I'll get into that in a second, because the owner of the team's culpable in all this as well. Anybody who thinks that it's just about fans being upset a team is leaving, I don't think has looked at this story from top to bottom. Both sides are to blame. It's a big story nationally. I think it's a big story. We have an NFL franchise here. Those of us that do not have selective memory do recall there was a point in time when the Cardinals were talked about potentially going to Los Angeles. Los Angeles was just sitting over there for all these years. And whenever teams needed a stadium, it was very convenient to say, well, there's LA over there. And now it'll be very convenient to say, well, there's San Diego. When Houston lost the Oilers, Houston sat around, and it was very convenient to say, well, there's Houston. So there's going to be that where cities are going to have to step forward to show that they want an NFL franchise. I do believe there's some of that. But if you believe that the NFL just 100% should just get their way, I just am never going to be on that side of the street. There are a lot of bad guys in NFL circles and ownership groups. And there's very smart guys, too. Very smart guys. But in all pro sports, there are people that should never be owners, do not have good intentions, do not have the best interests of the public in mind. It's a public trust. No, it's a business. Okay, if you believe that way, then you'll be the San Diego Clippers. You'll be Donald Sterling. You'll just be one of, 75% of the owners that aren't any good in pro sports. So this whole thing with the Chargers leaving, it's a hot button. Eric and I are going to go down to Tucson tonight. Are you looking forward to Tucson, by the way? You think we're going to have a good game tonight?
I always look forward to Tucson. I always do. Yeah, it's always fun going down there.
I got a text last night from Bill Walton, typical Bill Walton form. I'd asked Bill to come on the show at 10:45 last night. Can't make it. See you tomorrow night. And it was for yesterday's show that I wanted him on, but it's fine. I'm not going to ask him on game day. He's busy. But we'll see Bill tonight. Dave Pasch is doing the game. We haven't seen Dave in a while because Dave's always on a flight. Like, I don't know who flies more that I know in the broadcast world than Dave Pasch. He's always doing something. So the game's on ESPN2. If you do want to check it out tonight, there's actually distribution for it. You were not in yesterday, but I had Greg Hansen on from the Arizona Daily Star, and he believes that tonight is going to be a very close, very competitive game. And he's actually very complimentary of Bobby Hurley. He thinks Bobby Hurley can get it figured out here, so...
I did hear the interview, and I do, Brad, tend to agree that ASU does have a chance to sort of put themselves in the upper part of the Pac-12 if they can take over Cal, take over Stanford, take over the Washington schools. There is an opportunity, but until that happens, it's almost like you need to show me that you can do this consistently, and then I'll start to believe it. And I don't think tonight's going to be a close game. It's never a close game, ever, never. Not since James Harden was at ASU was it a close game.
Well, Goody at the Movies coming up. Mark Wahlberg, it's about Patriots Day, the movie that Mark Wahlberg is in. It's the 2013 Boston Marathon, so Bill will be with us in about 30 minutes. Michael Keaton, Bill talked to Michael Keaton about his flub at the Golden Globes. Bill spoke with him on that. Ben Affleck's new movie, Live by Night, which, I don't know, that looks painful. Looks like a Godfather mob movie. 20th Century Woman and Julieta, Eric's got on the show sheet. So we've got four movies to get to with Bill. We'll get into all that. The let's circle back on the Chargers stuff though before we take a break for Jimmy. So here's Dan Fouts. Give you a little bit of commentary on this. Dan Fouts, this was earlier today.
It's a sad day. There's no question. There's a lot of emotions that I'm feeling about the move. And a lot of them are, you know, it's just a real sad day for a lot of us. The fans, the players, city of San Diego. It's just, it's really hard to fathom at this point.
Here's Adam Schefter.
Very difficult to do, to separate yourself from a city that you've had a relationship with for 55 years.
The Rams, according to Adam Schefter, this was last night, Adam Schefter reporting on the Chargers move, that the Rams didn't even know that the Chargers were moving last night.
Here we have a team that's made the decision to move to the Rams city to eventually share Stan Kroenke Stadium, and the Rams didn't know about it last night.
Okay, how dysfunctional is that on one level? Here's the next level. So the Chargers are going to play over at the StubHub Center. The StubHub Center holds like 30,000. Type of facility I believe we really need here in Arizona, and it's a soccer-friendly facility. They can do other events like they're going to do with the NFL. When the Chargers play the Raiders, Eric, in L.A. for the first time, what are we guessing the percentage of Raider fans in Los Angeles to see a Raider game on the Chargers' home field will be? 30,000 seats.
90%? 85 to 90%.
Yeah. I mean, it will be one of the most embarrassing black eyes. And if you want a great read on all this, Bill Plaschke, the lead columnist of the LA Times, put it very well today. We don't want you, San Diego. We do not want you. Those of us that have grown up out there know full well that LA hates San Francisco when it comes to sports. They don't really care about San Diego. San Diego is just kind of like, eh. Now, San Diego has this complex, kind of like Phoenix has this complex about LA. You know, beat LA when the Lakers roll into town. I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever. San Diego hated the Dodgers. San Diego hated the Chargers, hates the Chargers or the Raiders. And so Plaschke put it very well today. And if you get a chance on my Facebook page, it's a terrific read. Dean Spanos, the owner of the Chargers, on November 8th, understand the political side of this. This is why I think both sides are culpable, but the NFL should not come out of this like, oh, well, we tried. So on November 8th, they had a ballot measure, Measure C. It didn't pass. It needed 2/3 approval. By the way, the team was awful at that point in time. Okay, this has nothing to do with fans. This has some to do with city council and city government trying to figure out a way. Yes, but the team that was put together was not good. The team wasn't winning on the field. That is not city government's fault. That is ownership of Chargers dysfunctionality, which has been for years and years and years. So Measure C didn't pass. It'd be like the Diamondbacks coming out and saying, we want a new stadium right now, with as bad as they've been for the last few years. The only difference is the Diamondbacks have tried, in my opinion, to put a competitive product out on the field. Zach Greinke, Paul Goldschmidt, you cannot argue with that. Yeah, the Chargers have had Phillip Rivers. But look at their drafts. Look at their free agency. And yeah, they've had some injury. So Dean Spanos didn't put a good product on the field. That's on him. That's on the NFL. Spanos, after Measure C, said, quote, we would have been buoyant about pressing on. Buoyant about pressing on if you'd passed in the ballot measure, which means, well, maybe we would have gone out and tried to get some good players. But because we didn't, because the fans, well, why should we? Okay, it goes both ways. The mayor's office was inept. The mayor's office has always been inept. I never saw anything from the city council. I never saw anything from the county. Mark Fabiani's a really sharp guy over there. Friends of mine that I talked to on this one said Fabiani tried. So the Chargers tried, but did they really try? Or did they look around, as Adam Schefter reported, and said, well, hey, whoa, 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 Southern California, that's a big market there. They're taking a lot of our space. So there's a lot on the Chargers front today that's not just the team packing up and moving. They're actually going to train there until June 1st. Can't get out of their lease until then. It's just going to be an absolute mess and disaster. We'll go to Vegas after this time out, get into the playoff games with Jimmy Vaccaro. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's go to Vegas now. Jimmy Vaccaro at the South Point Resort Casino. The place to be this weekend is Vegas. Those of us in Arizona, just make the quick drive up there, the 50-minute flight You're right there in the lobby. You've got your money ready to go. Put your tickets, get you going. Have a good time with these games this weekend. All right, Jimmy. I got to start with New England and Houston because the last time I checked, it was 14 or 15. I have never, ever seen a number that big. Where are we at on that today?
We're mostly around 16.5 with most of the stores here in Las Vegas, Brad. And obviously, it's a very, very high point spread for what you would consider a playoff game. But I think it was 97 or 98 when Minnesota was a 16.5-point favorite. Then you go back even further than that, way back when the Steelers played Tampa Bay. But it is a high point spread. Make no mistake about it. But let me tell you something. It's right where it should be.
What's the view on this game from Vegas, Jimmy?
The view on it is very simple, though. The so-called wise guys will wait because they think that they can grab 17 come game time, only because all the parlays and teams will definitely be on the New England Patriots. Rightfully so. You saw last week a Houston team that naturally, after Bill O'Brien got ahead and he knew the quarterback from Oakland wasn't going to do much, he simply just kept handing the ball off. So it didn't show too much. 17 is a huge number in the NFL, but I'll be rooting for the Texans. It won't be a lopsided game as far as like betting, meaning that there will be people taking the 17. But naturally, when you get to this point in the season, you want these marquee teams in there because they draw attention. I would say that the 17 is a little bit high. Rooting for the Texans at that spot for us, it won't be the worst thing in the world.
Pittsburgh, Kansas City.
Monster game. Naturally, here we're still seeing the progress of Roethlisberger. The game opened Pittsburgh 1, went to Kansas City 2 after we found out that he missed practice a couple days. I'm sure he's going to tough it. I'm sure he's going to play. Chiefs always tough at Arrowhead Stadium. Right now, Kansas City a little favorite. Once they see Roethlisberger on the field, or they know that he's going to definitely play, you'll see some Pittsburgh money there. It'll be a very good, as we say here in Las Vegas, a two-way right. You have plenty of people on both sides for that football game.
Let's go over to the NFC then. Seattle at Atlanta, traveling cross-country. Falcons rested. Seahawks had to play last weekend. Seahawks-Falcons.
Yeah, can you step up with Atlanta finally after all these years? It's very apparent that they can score the football. Total on the game is 50. Yes, you have Seattle coming cross-country. Yes, you have Seattle, who you don't know what you're getting for on the offensive side of the ball. But it's still a very good football team. This is the most intriguing game of the day as far as I'm concerned. You have a Seattle getting points. You're having a team that, I hate to use the word like folds up, but Atlanta at times just simply steps in a bear trap. The game is as high as 5. We had about $50,000 bets on the Falcons when we opened the game 4. We were as high as 5 right now. We take a little bit of money back on Seattle, but a very intriguing game. My friend, I would rather book this game than bet it. Make no mistake about that.
And finally, a monster matchup. You've got Aaron Rodgers playing lights out against the Dallas Cowboys with the kids at quarterback and running back.
You stole my opening comment there, my friend. Monster game. This will absolutely crush the other three games that we write on that day. You have, 50 years later, the frozen tundra game. You have Dallas Fielding, the 3.5-point favorite, went as high as 5, and bang, at 5, we took about 50,000 back on the Packers plus the 5. I cannot wait for two reasons. First of all, I want to see what they can do in this situation, and I also want to see probably the biggest handle so far in the NFL conference divisional game weekend. It's going to be fun, exciting. There will be Packer money. Something by just saying to yourself, you mean I'm going to get points with Aaron Rodgers? We will definitely see Packer money at game time.
Good stuff there, Jimmy. Stay well. Appreciate it as always. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
South Point Casino and Resort, Jimmy Vaccaro. Always good to have Jimmy on board. Let me go back over here to the Chargers because that is the story of the day by a long ways. Not that ASU U of A tonight. I'll get into that in the next segment, and then we have Goody. So what's going to happen now to that franchise? Well, let's go back to what I was talking about earlier. The Chargers now going to try to put some money, the ownership going to try to put some money and make a splash because they're going to be in Los Angeles. And the answer to that is yes. They're going to go after and be reckless, throw money just at guys to try to be marquee instead of building a franchise. What's going to happen to Philip Rivers? I mean, Philip Rivers is anything but an LA guy, and he's still a very productive quarterback. But you have the Rams over there with their young guy who didn't play well at all this year in Jared Goff trying to capture the market. My friends in Los Angeles don't care about the NFL. They just don't. The Rose Bowl, even a week later. And these are not people that are just in their 50s or 40s. These are people that my kids' friends and all that, they're not wound up about having two NFL franchises or even one NFL franchise. The NFL thinks that it's all that. No, in LA, you better win. You know, the Lakers have won. The Kings have won. UCLA basketball has won. UCLA basketball has become a hot ticket. Sure, there's going to be those transplants. But just look at the way the season ended. The Rams against the Cardinals, it was family and friends in that stadium. It was family and friends. So it's not a slam dunk that this stuff works out. Just because they put their brand there doesn't mean that it's the end all of end alls. So I'm not surprised that the Chargers left. I know this day sucks for anybody's a Charger fan. Like, Eric, you grew up without an NFL franchise, and you've shared a few times about your dad used to drive you over to San Diego because that was the closest team. All right. So did this pierce you when you got the news last night about this?
It didn't, because it was something that I had been bracing for the last few years. And there's such a disconnect between the city of San Diego and the Chargers. You knew that this marriage would not end happily. But yeah, I have great, great memories when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, driving out to San Diego, tailgating in, at that time, Jack Murphy Stadium parking lot, getting yelled at and cursed out by people who were drunk and angry, and I didn't really know what was going on. And my dad was trying to, like, always diffuse the situation and, like, try to keep me away from all that, because that is part of going to a Charger game. If you don't get cursed at or yelled at, either entering or leaving the parking lot, you consider that a good day. But it's sort of sad, but it just didn't surprise me that they left.
When I left there, the Spanoses were starting to turn into just an ownership group that I was looking at saying, I don't like the direction these guys are going. And I was there with Bobby Bethard, one of the most brilliant NFL minds. Yeah, he had his mistake with Ryan Leaf, but Bobby Bethard was a brilliant football mind. Bobby Ross is one of the best NFL coaches I've been around. The franchise was run very well, and the stadium was a dump. I get it. When you're an owner, if you're an anchor tenant and you're in a strip mall and your place is a dump, I get it. But I also think when you're an NFL franchise and you just expect everybody to hand everything over to you, and then you say, well, if the measure would have passed, it just tells me all I need to know about you. And that had been the case for years with that franchise, 4 years. Don't just hold it to the quarterback being there and them paying Philip Rivers. I mean, they made mistake after mistake after mistake with personnel and coaches, and so they ran the thing into the ground.
So let me ask you a question, because you would probably have a good feeling on this. So will San Diego State continue to play in Qualcomm, or eventually are they going to try to get their own more unique, smaller, newer stadium, and they're just going to make Qualcomm a big shopping center? What do you foresee happening? Because you're right, the stadium is so outdated. It wasn't outdated back in the 70s and 80s, but everyone else progressed and rebuilt and remodeled, and Qualcomm pretty much stayed the same.
I remember when I was a Cub reporter, and I was just doing shows. I was 19. I was given a credential, and I went down in the locker room to interview Lyle Alzado and John Matuszak and the Raiders. John Madden was down there, and you know, this was early, this was like mid-80s. And there was leaks coming down on us. There was no room in the locker room. And then as the Marshall Faulk time, when I was doing stuff with Marshall at San Diego State, it was dumpy then. And you go back there, and it's just a hole. And nobody wanted to address it, or nobody could figure it out. I think for San Diego State, there's not a plot of land up where their campus is located that I see that's big enough. They had a Balboa Stadium way back in the day before I was born. That's prime real estate down there. But here's the thing on that, Eric. Jerry Colangelo and I talked many times about San Diego getting an NBA franchise once again. And Jerry was very straight with me. He said, that city's never going to get an NBA franchise because they can't figure out how to get a facility built. And that was the space for years and years. Donald Sterling was a bad owner. He ran that team into the ground. Okay. The Spanoses come along. They inherited a pretty good situation. And through the course of time, they just expected that they would be able to work something out. I get it. At some point, you have to say, this isn't going to work out. But if you're not going to put money back in the product, if you're just going to serve slop, and expect people to buy slop and then turn around and say, well, you know, people didn't vote for this. Well, I wonder why that is. And when you become very hard to deal with within the media circles, which at one time the Chargers are very friendly. Bill Johnson's a friend, the guy that does their PR over there. But there are people around him that were just like, wow, okay, you think you're all that and you're just not. I don't know if they'll be able to figure it out how to build a stadium to attract another team. The NFL will never go back there as long as there's that hole in Fashion Valley. And people will say, oh, it's not that bad. You're being too harsh. No, it's a dump. It's an absolute dump. It's been a dumpster fire for 10, 15 years. So I'm going to talk about ASU, U of A, and some other things on the other side, then Good Eat the Movies. I'm Brad Sismat. Well, Good Eat the Movies coming up in a few minutes. Doing the show today from the home base, the moat, the dragons, and all that stuff. And Eric and I are going to be in Tucson tonight for ASU against U of A. We're actually going to swing down there a little bit early. There's a feature piece Eric wants to work on a high school end of things. If you've not checked out our site, if you're just finding us, sports360az.com, sports360az.com. We are Arizona centric, meaning there's lots of stuff we see on the pro end, the college end, the high school end. We do a lot of video. We do this daily show. We tape it at 10 a.m., tape it live. Those of you that watch it live, you see us have our explosions and all the fun that goes on. And then people watch it for the next 24 hours. We put in a podcast too. So it's just audio, but there's the video of it as well. And we have our television show that's on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sismat's Football AZ. It's just obviously a football show, but it's pro college high school around the state of Arizona. We partner with AZ Central. The Arizona Republic came to us 3-4 years ago and said, we see what you're doing. We want to partner with you. And we have a lot of fun. We just do this every day and we do our thing. We're not like everybody else. We don't intentionally look around and say, let's be different. We just are. We just do our thing. We don't care what's going on to the sides. Push everything to margin and just focus and do it. So a lot of people in this industry right now, and Bill and I could do a podcast on this, all the negativity towards media. We don't need that. We don't believe in that. We believe there's a lot of quality people that are in the industry, and we all need to collaborate and we need to work together. It doesn't matter if it's me with AZ Central or me with Fox Sports Arizona or us with any TV stations in the Valley, or if we decide to expand this thing out of the state of Arizona as well. We appreciate our partners that have come on board that have been supporting us for 5.5 years. It's very seldom I go down this path, but I just tell you guys, 5.5 years, and it's all been through people that have said, I want to support you with my company or my business. And that allows us to go be different and unique and go to places and see the growth. We see growth. We see great growth on our high school platform. We see great growth on our college platform. You know, the pro market is really saturated. There's a lot of different things. That doesn't mean we can't be a part of that. I'm really excited about our media podcast we just started 3 weeks ago. Ron Wolfley is on it this week. I reached out to people around the Valley and said, and actually around the state, and said, I just want to rap with you. I don't want to do the typical, what do you think about that? I want to know your process. I want to know what your day is like. I want to know how you prepare, the downs that you've had, the lows that you've had in this industry, and the highs you've had, because many, many people want to be in front of cameras and have headsets on like I do right now and do shows like this. We are blessed. We are fortunate. We are lucky that we get to do it. I appreciate you guys for joining us and being with us and the feedback that we've gotten. We're on Twitter, if you're just finding us as well, at Sports360AZ. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. So we're a lot of different places. We have our staff that is solid and true to the product. I can't thank enough on a daily basis, whether it's Eric, whether it's Jared Nielsen, whether it's Jordan Hamm, Haley Stasiak, our band of interns, the people at Skyview. So we've got a great thing going here, and I really appreciate your support, and we'll continue to keep moving forward with it. That said, tonight, moving forward, ASU has got to be able to figure out a way to not let the inside game of Arizona beat them tonight. Rustich and Markkanen. Markkanen is somebody that I really want to see. I've talked to NBA people about him. There's no question he's a lottery pick if he decides to come out. Seeing him on TV quite a bit. Want to see him in person. On the side of U of A, if Parker Jackson Cartwright plays as well as he did last weekend, then I don't think ASU is going to win. But I'll tell you, ASU's guard play is pretty good. ASU's weakness, they have no size and they have no depth. That's it. pound the ball inside, bunch of layups for the big men of U of A. ASU will lose by 30. U of A, if they don't, if this is pretty simple stuff. If Parker Jackson Cartwright does not have a good game against Trey Holder and the other guards for ASU, then they're going to struggle tonight. They just are. I'm surprised that Greg Hansen said he doesn't expect a blowout tonight. The fans, I mean, fans are always going to just say, oh, yeah, we're going to roll. It'll be interesting. I think for Bobby Hurley in the next 10 days, when you've got U of A on the road, at UCLA, at USC on the road, this could be the turning point of the program, or it can just be what we've seen for 20-plus years. They go get wiped out. They beat USC, even though USC's ranked this year, and they walk out of there, and they're just below 500, and it's the usual deal. Win two of these three games, then we're talking about something different. Like, if ASU finds a way to win two of three, then I can – if you don't think that's progress, then you're just not living in reality. And I think their guard play is good enough that they could sneak one out. They get swept, it's just back to how it's always been. U of A, they should roll. If you're a U of A fan, you're supposed to be Final Four, right? That's what I hear from you. That's what I hear from you every year. We're supposed to be Final Four or Elite Eight, okay? And if Trier was eligible tonight, if Trier's eligible, we'll be this, we'll be that. Okay, you've been telling me that since October. Last time I checked, we're almost halfway through the Pac-12 season, and he's still not eligible. All right, on the other side, Goody at the Movies. We'll get into Bill and a bunch of movies with Bill Goody Koontz from The Republic. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports and you get ready for the weekend, you know you have playoff football, but you need to get out to the movies. There's actually some movies that seem interesting to me. Bill Goody Koontz is with us. I was going to catch up with Bill, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. I was going to talk to you about Golden Globes and your thoughts on how Jimmy Fallon did, but then I saw that you spoke with Michael Keaton, and those of us that saw the Globes, the Hidden Fences versus Hidden Figures with Jenna Bush. Start with Michael Keaton, and what'd you talk to him about?
Well, I think what we ought to start with is, as I spoke with Eric, is James Madison winning the what used to be the Division I AA national championship in football. But once we get that out of the way, come on! When I was there, there was the same team that had Gary Clark, Charles Haley, and Scott Norwood, all three, same team.
I thought what you were going to say when you were there, Abraham Lincoln was there. It's fine.
James Madison was the president.
It's easy. No.
But yes, I did. You know, I've talked to as you know, and by virtue of my position, not because there's anything special about me, but I've talked to just about everybody who's directed or starred in movies. But the one of the guys that I always wanted is Michael Keaton. Because, you know, if you're our age, you love the guy. I mean, Night Shift, come on. I think he's the best Bruce Wayne ever, by the way, in a Batman movie. But
Birdman, you know, Man, Spotlight.
Birdman, I mean, Spotlight. He's Spotlight. The guy's great.
Yeah.
And he's just the guy that he's likable. And so I've wanted to talk to him. So they finally set it up. And I talked to him, and it's like, it just wasn't that great. It's just like, it was fine. It was serviceable. It'll look, you know, if you stick a headline on it, it'll look just like a story, as a friend of mine used to say. But it just, I could not help but be a little disappointed, you know? I mean, I don't know if you've had that happen before. Like, somebody that you really wanted to meet, and he was perfectly nice, although we did have a little bit of problem, like he couldn't quite hear me or, you know, some kind of phone thing. But I don't think that was it. Sometimes they just don't click the way you wish they would.
I had one of those with Tom Arnold. He was a complete, I can't use it. Well, I could because it was streaming, but that's disappointing. Let me move because we got a lot of ground to cover on today. Let me get over to Mark Wahlberg. You did talk to him. Patriots Day comes out. This is about the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing, trying to find the guys that did it. And it looks really good. First of all, how was he to talk to?
He is good to talk to this time. I've talked to him before, and he's kind of boring because I think he was almost like a reaction to his wild past. You know, it's been a few years since I talked to him. He was just like, well, I just play golf and hang out with my family.
But this time he was a little more engaged, in part because, obviously, this is the Boston Marathons. He's from Boston, so he has a real connection to it. So he was a little more engaged. And it was kind of funny, too. We were having a trouble, you know, the schedules weren't working out, and he was late, and I was late, and all this stuff. And then they told me, he said, he's on his way to Mass, so he can only talk for a few minutes. And so I said, I don't want you to miss Mass. And he's like, nothing's going to make me miss Mass. And I was like, okay. It certainly won't be me who does.
Click.
So, but no, he was fine, and he does I think feel a real kind of you know a bit more of a responsibility with this film than he would. The movie is really good. It's good. It's not quite great. It's maybe it's just not quite really. It's very you know kind of feel good in the end about it but what I thought was interesting about it, because when they announced this I was kind of thinking how do you make that, what do you make of this, and what it turns out is they do it sort of like a crime thriller, and it's in that respect it's really good. Kevin Bacon is the FBI guy who comes in. What's interesting and what I thought was not successful was Wahlberg does not play, most of them play real guys, Wahlberg does not play a real person, he plays a composite of three people. And the reason they've done that, it's sort of a narrative shortcut. I mean, it allows him to be at every development that happens. But in my view, that's not such a good thing. I mean, comes off as this kind of action hero, this super cop. And as we know, I mean, the point of this movie, the point of all this stuff was that, you know, Boston Strong, these are like the blue-collar pride, you know, these people coming together in the whole city, you know, rises together and they catch these guys and that sort of thing. I just didn't think that part of it worked. But I think that what they did a really great job of was what we all saw was the same stuff from like CNN or whatever, you know, this sort of overhead shot. You see the bombs go off. You see the chaos. What's interesting about this was the director, Pete Berg, who also worked with Wahlberg on Deepwater Horizon and Lone Survivor, he gets down in there and you get a real sense of what the chaos was like. And I thought that was pretty good. And that was done really well, too.
So this is better than okay? I'm really thinking about seeing this weekend.
Do I pay? See it. It's better than okay. There's no question it's better than okay. I mean, right. I thought it could have been just, like, you know, really great. And I just feel like what they did to that character, this is not the kind of movie that needs an action hero. You know what I mean? This just needs the guys... doing their work.
Let me jump over to the one directed by Ben Affleck. He's in it. It's Live by Night. It looks like a mob godfather. It looks dreadful.
really?
It just looks, yeah. I mean, the trailer makes it feel like I've seen this over and over and over, and it's just time to regurgitate something godfather related. Based on your reaction, I'm dead wrong on this.
No, you're not actually kind of right. I had the opposite reaction going in because I think Ben Affleck is a really good director. I liked Argo a lot. I really liked The Town, which he directed. But this one just isn't there. I'm not up to snuff. It's way too much story. There's way too much going on. He's a guy that goes off to World War One and gets kind of like he loses all respect for authority because, you know, it was such a bad experience. And he becomes he calls himself an outlaw, not a gangster. But he ends up moving to Florida. And he becomes like this sort of king rum runner, and he runs afoul of the KKK and then religious groups, and there's this and there's that and the other, and it never really all comes together. And I actually don't mind him that much as an actor either, but he's not particularly good in this. It's too bad because Chris Cooper's in it; he's really good. Elle Fanning is really good as a woman who tries to go to Hollywood and kind of doesn't quite get to Hollywood. He ends up in some sort of den of iniquity down there, but she comes back and is sort of reborn as a religious sort of demagogue. And there are bits and pieces of it that are really good, but it's pretty long, about 2.5 hours long, I think. And
yeah. 2.5 hours nowadays. Come on.
It could
20th
be 220.
Century woman. 20th Century Woman has Annette Bening in it. I think Annette Bening's terrific. It's only showing at Camel View. This was a Golden Globe nominee. So this has got to be good, right?
Yeah, it's very good. If you like her, this is the best she's ever been. She's
really?
Fantastic.
Wow.
She's going to get an Oscar nomination. So she plays a woman who is raising her son as a single mom in 1979 in this house in California, and she's got these boarders. Billy Crudup is the only guy, but it's Elle Fanning, again, is one of the boarders. and Greta Gerwig, and they're sort of offbeat, and she asked the women to help her raise the son because she thinks it's hard for a man to know what to be like in the late 70s. And it's they're all good, but it's all about her, and she's just terrific. I mean, she's funny. She's just straightforward. Like, there's a scene at the beginning of the movie, and sometimes I get hung up on these little things, but they sort of help me understand the movie in a way. She and her son are at the store, and their car catches on fire, and it burns all up, and they call the fire department, and they come put it out, and at the end of it, she thanks the fire department and says, "I'm having a party tonight. Would you like to come?" And then someone goes, like, "Sure." So she's sort of sitting there with her son afterwards, and he says, "You know, most people don't invite the fire department to a party after they put out a fire." And she just looks at him, and she says, "Why not?" And it just, to me, like, the whole character was explained right there. She doesn't care what anybody else thinks, doesn't care what other people do. I just, you know, you'll love it if you like her.
All right, I really do. Let's finish with Julieta, and this again is at Camel View. Julieta.
Yes, this is a Pedro Almodovar movie. Usually his stuff is, like, really wild. Like, Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, The Skin I Live In, and showing this. And by his standards, it's kind of muted. Usually there's these garish colors and this crazy, insane melodrama. This is about a woman who, we see her at two points in her life. Something has happened in her past, and we kind of relive it over the course of time. This is Spain's entry into to the Oscar race. We'll see if it gets nominated in about a week and a half. But I think it's really good. If you like his crazy stuff, this isn't as crazy. But compared to everybody else's stuff, it's pretty wild, I guess. But compared to him, you know, it's not quite as spicy as some of his other stuff.
All right. That's good. Do you have any thought on Jimmy Fallon the other night? How do you think he did with Golden Globes?
He just didn't register. I don't know about the guy. I mean,
Meryl Streep? What do you think of Meryl Streep? What about Meryl Streep?
I thought Meryl Streep was really good, and I especially liked it because I knew that Trump would respond, and I knew that when he responded, I would have a column I could write. And that indeed happened. And I got, you know, usually, as you know, because you've gotten in there on some of them, and it's like you're touched. If you touch the thing, you get attacked. But in this case, a lot of people agree. They thought that even the people who like Trump were like, you know, he ought to have better things to do than, you know, care about what somebody said about him at the Golden Globes. And you know, but we're finding out a lot about Trump. Or maybe more is just being revealed. I don't know. But I think that as far as the media goes, this next 4 years is going to be really interesting.
Well, and I'll let you go off this. So I started doing this media podcast, right, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I'd like to have you. Yeah, well, thank you. I would like to have you come in because I do think that this is a time where we should be locking arms in our industry and supporting everybody who's trying to make it work. I really feel strongly about that, and learning the process of what you go through, you know, like just in watching stuff. I think for the feedback I've gotten in the first 3 weeks, we had Jude LaCava, we had Mike Watkiss, and we had Ron Wolfley. I'm not just going to stick to sports on that deal. And let's go through 35, 45, if it's 60 minutes, I don't care, and go through some of this stuff because it's too important and people are listening to it. So
I think you're doing a great job. I think they're interesting, but I also think you're right. I think that now in particular, the lead up to January 20th and the 4 years after, it's one of the most important times ever in media, I believe.
Oh, I'm totally with you. And it's exciting to be in the middle of it. I mean, I'm not backing down. I'm not sitting here saying, "Oh gosh, what's going to happen?" No. This is a time where you actually push forward where companies are folding and companies are struggling. You just keep doing your thing. I mean, that's my view. So I appreciate your time. See you.
Bye.
Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. Always good to catch up with Bill. Eric and I are going to head out to Tucson. We're going to swing by EG's because that's part of the deal. If you want to see an EG Instagram, I'll probably take a picture of it. We have an interview that Eric's got to get when he's down there. Then he and I are going to be at the U of A ASU game tonight. And we'll social media that stuff out. If you're just joining us here and you missed the earlier stuff on the Chargers, I'm seeing on my Facebook, some people want to hear. This channel repeats over and over and over for the next 24 hours. And we have it in podcast form, too, later today. So you can find it either way. It's on iTunes. So make yourself available. That, and of course, those of you checking us out on AZ Central Sports, it repeats as well. Thanks for being with us.